This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, the final score, 31-24, Eagles win. It didn't take very long. The scoreboard operator has Chiefs and Jaguars up here 0-0. And that obviously is opening day on Sunday, September the 8th here at EverBank Field. Let's go back and talk a little bit about this one. You were talking in the last few minutes of the broadcast about the ones versus ones. And let's give Chad Henne some credit. 5 of 6 on the opening drive through a touchdown pass to Justin Blackmon, who had a nice night in the first half when he was in there with the starters. Move the ball down the field, much as Blaine Gabbert did a week ago.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone's in a doubt or argue that we have a very good backup quarterback in Chad Henne. I mean, a guy, listen, he showed it last year, Brian, when Blaine got hurt. He came in, had some nice games, can move the team, and he proved that tonight. You know, outside the one bad decision that led to an interception and led to points for the Philadelphia Eagles, I thought he did play well. And Gus Bradley has talked about it. He told Jeff, it's a good thing if Chad plays well. You have two quarterbacks that you're confident in. Blaine's the starter. He's the guy we're going to go with. But if anything were to happen or if he weren't to be ready, you got a lot of confidence in number 7.
Henne finished the night completing 11 of 18 for 106 yards, 2 touchdowns, the 1 interception that Tony mentioned, and the passer rating of 91.4. Matt Scott came on 6 of 11 for 52 yards, a passer rating of 67.2. Kafka, under pressure, under duress, 2 of 3 for 12 yards, passer rating really inconsequential there. If Blaine Gabbert is ready to go, if he's ready to go with a thumb, 2 quarterbacks or 3 on the roster in your estimation?
I know Jeff thinks 3 because of the questions about the thumb, and I would tend to agree with him. But who's your third going to be? I mean, I think Matt Scott's a project, and so I want to put him on the practice squad.
And right.
I think he has a lot of athletic ability. But does he give you that much confidence as being the third emergency guy if you had to go to him? And then I just haven't seen it out of Kafka. I agree with Jeff. I'm not sure he can make all the throws, and he hasn't looked great when he's gotten in and hasn't got a lot of reps, and he's clearly right now the 4th guy behind Matt Scott. So that's a great question.
You can't really bring someone in from the outside with Blaine.
No, I don't think so. And I think it comes down to Dave Caldwell as he sits there and starts mapping out his 53-man roster. If the 53 person is someone he really wants on his roster, but he can't have if he keeps 3 quarterbacks, then you go 2. But if it's not really close and there's not someone you have to have where it's real definitive, you know, why not go and keep Matt Scott because he's not a vested veteran. You keep him on the roster week run. You always can release him when you're more sure about Blaine's thumb and put him on the practice squad at that point. Maybe that's the move.
Talk a little bit about the receivers tonight. Justin Blackmon, 4 for 50 yards and a touchdown. Brett Brackett had 4 for 24 at tight end. Let's talk about the starting receivers, though. You had Blackmon. Shorts only had 1 for 20 yards. You know, how do you see this group right now? Obviously, Shorts and Blackmon. Blackman's not going to be there on opening day. Won't be there until week 5. So it's Cecil Shorts and Ace Sanders and Mike Brown. And
if everybody
figure
stays,
it out for me.
If everybody stays healthy, I really like our receivers week 5.
Okay. Yeah, when you
I mean,
get
you got Cecil, Ace, and Blackman running out there as your 3-wide set. And listen, Mike Brown's had a nice camp. He's done some. He has represented himself very well. I think he is going to make this roster as we head into the regular season. You know, you never know what you can find out on the waiver wires. But there's no real depth anywhere on this roster, Brian. I mean, so the receiver position is no different. Because of no Blackman the first 4 weeks, you're going to have Ace Sanders, you're going to have Cecil as your 2 starters. But let's not forget, Ace is a rookie 4th-round draft pick. And that's going to, right now, be your starter at the outside, one of the outside wide receiver positions, with Mike Brown most likely at the slot and probably Shipley as your 4th guy until Blackman gets back. Again, we preface this with making sure everyone realizes it's listening. They are going to scour the waiver wire, and there could be a number of guys that are on other teams wearing other jerseys, maybe guys on the Eagles we played tonight.
Russell Shepard didn't look too bad, did he?
That could be on this ball club opening day.
Talk about the running game. The Jaguars, 202 yards on the ground, 5.9 per carry. Jordan Todman, 8 carries, 105 yards, the 63-yard touchdown. Denard Robinson, 7 for 33, averaged 4.7 per carry. Maurice averaged 4 yards a carry, 7 rushes, 28 yards. John Grimes, 3 yards a carry. It's a real solid group at running back.
Yeah, and I know, you know, we've talked a little bit about every position. You know, we'll be looking for guys on the waiver wire. I actually like our running backs. I like our group. I like Maurice Jones-Drew, obviously. You know, Forsett has proven what he can do. Get him healthy with that toe. And then you have Denard Robinson and Todman. That's 4 guys right there that you have confidence can run the rock. With Will Taufoe as the fullback, a big lead blocker, physical. I thought he played outstanding tonight. That's a pretty good group right there, Brian.
You know, Taufoe last year was doing the same thing in the preseason. And I can remember Jeff saying, you got to watch for this guy. You wonder whether Malarkey is married at the time to the idea of Greg Jones, like a lot of people had been around here. Might they let him go? Well, they ended up keeping Greg. But Taufoe was on and off the roster. He was part of 13 roster transactions with the Jaguars from May of 2012 to the end of last season. So clearly he's a guy that they never wanted to let get too far away.
Well, right now I'm glad the last transaction was him being brought back right. And signed with the Jaguars, because he's clearly won the job, in my opinion, over Lonnie Pryor. He's more physical. Everyone goes back to that first game where the ball bounced off. That's on him. It hit him. But it was a very difficult pass to catch. He has shown good hands. Besides that, he's caught the ball very nicely.
But you really don't care,
and
do you?
I don't care about that. He knocks out linebackers. That's what I want.
Yeah, and he really, 247 pounds. He's not quite as big as Greg, but, man, does he pack a punch.
He hits like him.
Well, and I'm sure that Maurice Jones-Drew likes having another big body up in front of him.
Hey, you know, offensive line, fullback, tight end, running back's best friends.
Did you see anything out of Maurice? I know we probably won't see him again until the regular season.
Listen, I got confidence in Maurice. I mean, he looked good. He made some nice runs. He pushed the pile, which is a good sign with that foot. But more than anything, Maurice will be ready. Maurice has proven throughout his career he is ready. When the bell rings on opening day, he is ready to run.
Take a look at the numbers for the Eagles. Mike Vick, 15 of 23, 184 yards, had the touchdown, had the interception that Grotz made. Passer rating of 86.1. And when you talk about Mike, you got to throw in his numbers rushing. 7 for 53, 7.6 per carry, and a long of 16. I mean, he is not 25 any longer. But
he still can run.
Yeah, he still can make some
plays. I still
worry
about him getting hit, Brian. I mean, how many hits can he take?
Well, the rib injuries the last 2 years have really cost him time. He's missed 12 of the last 37 games for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Only played 16 games once in his career.
But, yeah, in 2006 when he ran for his career high, 1,039
yards. How many yards rushing did they have, the Eagles, as a group tonight? Because they really – that's what Chip Kelly's – that's the foundation of Chip Kelly's offense.
172.
Yeah, they run the ball. And it's all the misdirection. It's the threat of the quarterback. It's, you know, that read option. And you freeze the defense just long enough to allow that the running backs to use their speed, break contain, or get up inside that unblocked defensive end.
Bryce Brown had 11 carries for 92 yards and a touchdown. And then Chris Polk had 6 for 23.
A lot of those late.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But still, I mean, that's what the foundation of this, I believe, the spread offense is under Chip Kelly. And even when the ones are in there, Mike Vick had 58 yards.
Now, one of the areas –
that's significant.
Yeah, one of the areas where the Eagles were able to exploit the Jaguars' defense was with the tight end. You saw Celek had 4 catches for 54 yards. Zach Ertz had a big 13-yard catch on third down that kept things moving along. I mean, they found some room to get to those tight ends.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching the film tomorrow, because it seemed to me, as we called the game, that the Jaguars were better in man coverage, and they did a good job. It seemed the breakdowns were when they were in zone and the tight end was able to find the soft spot. And that can happen with young guys. You have a guy in Grotz who's a rookie, and you have Ciprian who's a rookie. And I think sometimes for those guys, especially as athletic as they are, it's easier to play man. I mean, you're locked in. Grotz knows his guy. He's shown to be good at that. And then when you get in the zone, you have to feel your way through, and it's more of a – it takes experience, takes time.
Jeff Loggeman is in the zone with the Jaguars locker room. He's with the head coach, and we go to him right now. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Gus, certainly an impressive game in the first half. I thought a big improvement from the last couple weeks as far as penalties and winning the turnover battle.
Yeah, and that's – you know, and we emphasized it this week. We emphasized it last week, too, but it was great to see that we improved in those areas.
And particularly in the second half, the third preseason game, playing your starters into the third quarter – Very impressive, Chad Henne. Certainly had a nice game, and then to come out in the third quarter and lead your offense to a touchdown drive, that's the way to start it in the second half.
It really is, you know, and that's what we talk to our guys about. It's one thing to start, but we're more impressed as a team the way we finished. And, you know, they came out there and they did what they had to do, and to get a score on the board right away, that was great. A
couple guys returning back into the lineup, Luke Jokel playing, as well as Cecil Short. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it was great to see him out there. I don't know how many plays Luke had, but I know he felt good about being out there. And we had a couple of injuries. There were some guys that had to step up and make some plays. But overall, to see those guys, Cecil, I know he had fun back out there playing. It was good to have him out there.
The one thing, though, that continued from last week, the return game. A couple big returns on you, and in one case with the punt return and then the penalty tacked on, it kind of almost is like a turnover.
Right, it is. It's exactly like it. We have to treat it on defense like a sudden change, and it puts the defense in a completely different mindset. So we got to really tighten those things up. We challenged our guys. We said we have three or four core guys. We're looking for six or seven, and it's out there for them. And we challenged our young guys, our rookies, to go out there and make it happen. So we'll watch tape and evaluate and see where the breakdown was.
You had mentioned the injured guys. Early in the game, Will Rackley goes out. How's Will?
Well, they came up to me. I guess the knee is fine. So they're looking at the ankle right now, and they'll get an MRI on that. But, you know, we're grateful that it had nothing to do with his knee.
And also, I believe, Przinski was taken out of the game with a head injury. How's he?
Yeah, I know on the sideline they looked at him and they just felt like, you know, it's the NFL deal where they check their head. And, you know, in case it is a concussion, they just held him out. So, you know, hopefully we get him back soon too.
Last game coming up in Atlanta, short week. What's your plan of attack for the last preseason game?
Well, you know, we're talking about possibly playing some guys just a little bit, you know, our starters, you know, to get them out there, maybe a series or two. And, you know, but we'll take a look at the injuries and how we came out of it, see where our team is feeling, and make decisions accordingly.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that's the head coach. And the injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Potentially good news on Will Rackley, not the knee. However, a high ankle sprain would be a while.
Well, and we don't know what kind of ankle, but what ankle, Brian, and I don't remember, did he have the issues that kept him out all of last season? Do you recall which
one
it was?
Not with certainty, I don't.
I don't either. And so you hope it's not that same ankle. It's a surgically repaired ankle, and he worked hard, and he was 100%. I'm not saying there's any more risk to it, but,
right.
You know, you hope. And we won't know until the MRI, until we hear from the coach later, early this week. You hope it's something he misses the rest of the preseason. I remember we played the San Francisco 49ers, I think it was 1996 here, week three of the preseason.
I remember.
And I had an ankle injury in the first quarter, was held out the fourth preseason game, but that two-week period allowed me to rehab the ankle, get it back, and able to play all 16 games that year. So you hope for that type of scenario.
All right, folks, our post-game show is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. We come back. Jeff Lagerman is in the locker room. More analysis from Tony Boselli here on Jaguars Radio. Postgame show rolls along live from the broadcast booth at Everbank Field. Brian Sexton, Tony Boselli. Jeff Lagerman is downstairs in the locker room with Justin Blackman. Four catches tonight, 50 yards of the opening drive touchdown. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Justin, third preseason game. Many people view it as the most important game, the dress rehearsal for the regular season. How'd you guys feel you did?
I feel that we went out there and did pretty good. Of course, there's lots of room for improvement, but overall, I think we did a good job at executing the plan.
You had four catches, and I think the biggest one in the first drive. Offensively, you guys took the ball down first possession, ended up you got the touchdown catch. And in the second half, you guys did the same thing offensively. Boy, that's nice to see where you start in the first half and the second half with strong drives.
Right. I mean, we just were hitting on all cylinders. We got everybody back, and we're happy about that. And we just wanted to go out there and show everybody what we can do.
Now, you were going to be out the first four games, and you played a little bit longer. Is that something you want so that you can get as many reps as you can because you're going to have a little bit of time off?
Right. I'm just trying to get some, you know, as many full-speed reps as I can because I know I'm going to be out the fourth game or the four games and just try to get as many reps full speed so I can come back fifth game ready to go.
How excited are you for this new era, so to speak, with Gus Bradley and David Caldwell?
I'm very excited. You know, the energy in the building is up. Everybody's excited to come in and be here. And, you know, we carry it onto the field. You can see it by the way everybody's playing and how everybody's out there making plays.
All right, thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
Justin Blackmon, the fifth pick in the draft last year, 64 catches, 5 touchdowns, had a big game in Houston last season. Tony, how good can he be if he gets everything squared away off the field so that he's available to the team 16 games a year? How good can Justin Blackmon be based on what you've seen so far?
Very, very good. I compare him to an Anquan Boldin type of receiver. He is great in traffic. He's strong hands. He's physical. The body control. The back shoulder catch, because he can stop in a moment to come back and make that catch. I think if he continues to work like he did this offseason on the field and put away the problems that he did have this offseason in the past, he will be a guy that could be a 80 to 100 catch receiver because he has that type of talent.
A year ago, Cecil Shorts and Blackmon combined for 119 catches and 12 touchdowns. That duo, how do you get – he's with Jeff Loggeman, so let's get Jeff first, and then I'll get your thoughts on that. Jeff, take it away.
All right, thank you, Brian. Here with wide receiver Cecil Shorts. And Cecil, first game action of the preseason, how'd you feel?
It felt good just to get back out there with my teammates. That first catch, it felt good. Hit a little crowd roar, and like I said, it felt good to get back out there with my teammates and finally get to play against somebody different than, our guys in practice.
A little frustrating, though, I would think, with Blaine not being in there, Mercedes not being in there, where you guys can't get some reps together, all the skill position guys, at least in one preseason game.
I know, right? I was out when Blaine was playing, and I came back, Blaine gets hurt, and then Mercedes gets hurt. But, that's just, like Coach said, Lil Murphy. We got to deal with that when that time comes, and when he gets back, not this week, probably next week, get a lot of reps with Blaine and get ready for that Kansas City game.
What is your expectation for Blaine?
I expect him to have a good year.
I mean, as far as being ready for season one, I mean, they've talked about it. Maybe he is, and the question still remains, will he be?
Blaine's a tough guy. Last year he played a lot of games with a torn labrum. They tried to keep that in the down low last year. But I believe he'll be ready for week one. If not, we know what we'll get from Chad. He's definitely a solid player. And, whoever plays will be confident in both of them.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so instead of me asking about Cecil, because we know what he's capable of, let's talk about the offense as a whole. Last week we saw Justin Blackmon and Blaine Gabbert and Maurice move the ball very well. Tonight we saw Blackmon and Chad Henne move the ball pretty well. Maurice was out there. Cecil was out there. Luke Jokel was out there. It was great to see. Still did not have Mercedes Lewis. Blaine was not there. It's stop and start, stop and start, stop and start with the pieces that we anticipate will be the starting offensive unit. So, taking all that into account, what do you think about where the offense is as we get, close to the start of the regular season?
I like where it is. I don't like that Blaine Gabbert's not there because I want to see him build on what he did last week and had an outstanding outing. And the timing is tough to get because now Cecil's back, like he talked about. Blaine's out, no Mercedes. But if we can get all our skill guys healthy and ready to play 16 games and them to play the majority of those games, I would expect this offense to be a top-half offense in the NFL.
Top 15. Climb from 29th to 15th.
Yes, top 15, somewhere okay. Where it is. They have the talent. I really like Jed Fish's game plan. I think he is a very innovative offense coordinator. I think he's a very good play caller. I think he plays to the strengths of what his weapons are on the field. And so I think the future is very bright. Now, the downside of this offense right now is depth. There is very little margin for error.
I was just going to Will Rackley.
Any of the positions.
Left guard. If Will Rackley's not available, the x-ray was negative. The MRI is scheduled for sometime tomorrow. What do you do? Last year they struggled. They lost Will Rackley, and then Eben Britton wasn't the answer. And Will
you go
downstairs.
You go to Brewster.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That didn't work all that last year either.
That's the answer right now.
All right, let's check in with Jeff Loggeman, who has Senderic Marks. Jeff.
Thank you, Brian. Senderic, you guys facing a Chip Kelly offense. A lot was made about the up-tempo. How did it feel going against this, quote-unquote, Chip Kelly offense?
I think they got something that's it can work and it can go against them also. Because, there's a couple of times where their guys were pretty drained. I guess they're not in the shape of running that offense. And, there's a lot of times where they get confused, also with what they're trying to do. So, you know, it can be a plus and it can be a minus for him. But, the tempo was a little – it wasn't as fast as I thought it would be. And I think we had time and we had a game plan for it.
It has to help you guys that you're seeing a lot of that in your own practices out of your own offense.
Exactly. And that helps us a lot. You know, it gets us in the mood. It gets us ready to play it. And, it also gets us in shape as we go out through practice. So it helps us a lot.
Seems like you had got a couple good pressures in there working against, I believe it was Harriman's, and had a little bit of activity after one play with them.
Man, you know, it was at times where they were getting tired. So, you know, majority of the time when the offensive linemen get tired, they hold. You know, he grab and he wouldn't let go. So, you know, sometimes I may get frustrated. When I have him beat, he'll grab me. And I was also getting frustrated because Vic still has wheels and I can still move. So, you know, sometimes I can get to a defensive lineman. And the holding part, I just don't like it.
This was the first game that appeared that both you and Jason Babin had really productive games together. You guys are going to be working all year. What do you expect out of the two of you?
I expect some good things, you know, because me and Babin has worked together before, and we're pretty much on the same page. You know, not also did me and him work well together. The whole defensive line worked well together, you know, just as a whole. You know, when we knew, you know, what our protection was going to be, what way, you know, we was going to take the one-on-one rushes and all that type of stuff, we was all on the same page, and I think it showed.
I got to admit, you know, I've watched you at Tennessee for 4 years, mm-hmm. and you were a zero technique. This is the first time I'm watching you as a three technique. Son Derek, you look pretty good.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. You talking about my looks or the way I play?
No, the way you play.
I appreciate it, man. You know, I feel comfortable. You know, I understand the defense. And, I talk with Coach Wash a lot, you know, and that just allows me to go out and play fast. You know, it's not too much thinking I have to do, and I just can go out and play fast.
All right, thank you, Sundar. Hey,
thanks.
Big personality there. Yeah,
two things, Ryan. I'm not really comfortable. I mean, I got a blog saying you're looking good, and, I mean – you know, what are they?
I'm going to leave this one alone.
I mean, and I'm fine with that. I mean, Sinderick, he does look good out there, you know.
Yeah, you bet.
That the real thing I have an issue with, I got two defensive linemen down there complaining about holding. Let me explain something to them if they don't understand it quite yet. It's not holding if they don't throw a flag. It's called blocking. And so as I always told the defensive linemen, if you don't like being blocked, then get off the block. And if they don't throw the flag, it's not holding.
Hey, guys.
Yes, Jeff.
That might be one of the great personalities that is in the locker room. And I mean, all time. He is an absolute trip now.
And I loved it. He's great. You're right, Jeff, because you said you look good out there. He says, me personally? it was a great line.
Everybody paused for just a second and then laughed. All right, Logs, thanks so much for your work from the locker room tonight. And, of course, we will talk to you all week long.
All right, guys.
All right, that's Jeff Loggeman. Time for our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. Jaguars and Eagles tied at 10. And then Michael Vick took the ball at his own 10 and started marching it up the field. On 2nd and 6 at the Jaguars 40, looked like they had some momentum. The rookie Dwayne Grotz had something to say about that. He dove to intercept Vick. Jaguars got the ball 1st and 10 at their own 37. 5:39 left to play. Second quarter. Quick little handoff becomes our Bud Light play of the game. That's Todman. And Todman, look at him go. He's free to the 30-yard line, to the 20, to the 10-5. Touchdown. Holy cow. Jordan Todman just took it from the 37 to the end zone. That is a 63-yard touchdown. Great speed. Great speed. He ran away from the defenders. And it was a 63-yard touchdown. That's our Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. Final thoughts, Tony? A couple of days, quick turnaround to play this Thursday night game before the final cuts come.
Short week. We'll get some cuts this week. So
yeah.
We'll have
before practice 70, Monday.
75 guys on the trip to Atlanta. I don't expect to see any of the starters in Atlanta. That's kind of their MO, and that's what we saw last year out of Mike Smith. I do believe we're going to see starters for the Jaguars, and I think Gus Bradley basically said that
he sure did.
When he talked to Jeff Loggeman. And listen, I agree with that. Get the reps. This is a young team, new era, new systems, defense, offense, a lot of fresh faces, and you need all the opportunities you can. Probably not, maybe not Mojo and some of the other veterans, but plenty of guys who can get better.
All right, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Enjoying working with you. For Tony Boselli and Jeff Loggeman, thanks to Brent Martineau for his work on the sidelines today. And for Scott Kushner back here keeping us all in line. Scott, thanks so much. Appreciate it. The best producer on radio, no matter what Bocelli thinks.
We might have to have a little argument. I might have to have a discussion about that.
Is Jolton Joe Fortunato. We love him. He's from
Philly guy, you know.
Yeah, he's a Philly guy.
I thought he was going to start eating cheese
He was in full Philly mode tonight. He was giving it back to you as well as he took it. So we'll sign it off and hand it off to J.P. Shadrick, Marco Coleman, and the entire broadcast crew. Hey, by the way, thanks to Jeremy Ratliff. I forgot to mention him last week. He does a terrific job.
Outstanding.
It belongs to you guys downstairs after this break on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Welcome inside the Hanania studio at Everbank Field. The final score tonight, the Eagles 31 and the Jaguars 24. J.P. Shadrick with you, Marco Coleman alongside. And, boy, Marco, this was another solid first half tonight for the Jaguars offense. They drive right down the field and score and kind of set the tone in their first drive tonight. Overall, a pretty solid night for this team. Yes, it's a loss, but early it was good.
I think they got out of it what was the intent, to get those starters really ready and primed for the season. They look really good offensively and defensively. I even have to go so far as to say special teams. That first half, you're like a team that's going to be very competitive going into the regular season.
A few of the stats lines tonight. Chad Henne, 11 of 18 passing, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. And starting running back Maurice Jones-Drew, 7 carries, 28 yards. Went a little longer into this game. He was playing in the early part of the second quarter tonight, Marco. That's a good sign.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the team all together seemed like they're grasping exactly what Gus wants to have. The up-tempo as far as the offense. And then defensively, they're getting after it. Attacking. Did a little bit more on defense as far as bringing pressure. A really good balanced game today. Well, the starters, I say.
Sure. And one of those starters, Justin Blackmon, with 4 receptions, 50 yards, and the opening drive touchdown tonight. Brett Brackett had 4 receptions in this game tonight, too. The tight ends, Brackett and
Reisner.
Reisner made an impact tonight with Mercedes Lewis injured with that calf. Are you ready, Marco?
Let's do it, man.
Time now for our Comcast Lightning Fast questions of the game. And we start off with number one. Player of the game tonight.
Gotta go with my man Todman. You figure 8 carries, 105 yards, a touchdown. Hey, he earned himself a roster spot. How about that?
How about that? Great night for Todman. 8 carries, 105 yards, and that long, long touchdown tonight, too. Okay, number two. Best opening drive for the Jags. The first quarter, first drive they had, which was 12 plays, 90 yards, 5:33 for a touchdown, or the opening drive of the second half. Which was 14 plays, 80 yards, and a touchdown.
I'm going to have to go with the second half, just because they had some guys in there. I mean, first half, you had Maurice out there. But I like the second one when you had that, the backup running back coming out. Todman still, he got things going. I'm going to go with the second half. Second half drive as being the best drive.
That's a tough one there. Okay.
It is pretty tough.
Hidden gem tonight. Who's your hidden gem?
I'm going to have to go with Reisner. He's taking advantage of his opportunities. Mercedes out, and he's getting more balls. You figure he scored a touchdown last week, touchdown this week, and you watch him blocking. I mean, this guy really seals that edge. I think he's going to be a pivotal player going forward for the team in the regular season.
Reisner had that one catch, really nice catch. It was down low, too.
Yeah.
He had to rumble into the end zone for the touchdown.
His blocking is really good. You got to check him out on those blocks.
Those are your Comcast lightning fast questions of the game answered by our Marco Coleman.
For sure.
The final score tonight, the Eagles with a late score get a win over the Jaguars. The final count tonight, 31-24, Eagles over the Jags. We'll come back in just a moment and hear from the Sexton summary, the scoring summary with highlights from tonight's game. That's coming up next on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Welcome back inside the Hanania studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars postgame rolls along. The final score tonight, Eagles 31, Jaguars 24. The third preseason game. The Jags are now 0-3. The Eagles improved to a record of 2-1. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton summary from tonight's game. A listen at the highlights for tonight's matchup. Well, the Jags defense started strong on the first Philadelphia drive. The Eagles went 4 and out with a punt. The Jaguars were backed up on their own 10-yard line. for the first time came out. Chad Henne really moved the team down the field with a what would end up being a 12-play, 90-yard drive capped off by this strike to Justin Blackmon.
A third down and four. There's the shotgun snap looking right all the way. Henne turns and throws for the end zone. He's got him in. Touchdown, Justin Blackmon. And the Jaguars strike first.
Real nice read. Real nice read by Chad Henne. Just a shotgun snap, and Justin Blackmon finds a little crease between Fletcher, the cornerback, and Allen, the safety, and Henne puts it right on the money.
Good way to start it. 12-play, 90-yard drive, 7-0 Jaguars. Philly would go 4-and-out again with a punt, and then the Jaguars 3-and-out back and forth. Philly would come back with a 30-yard field goal from Henne. It was a 7-3 game at that point, capped off a 12-play drive for the Eagles. The next drive, the ensuing drive for the Jaguars, Chad Henne sacked on the first play. Then the next play, it's Connor Barwin, a familiar name in this division.
Henne deep drop, Lance turns and delivers a pass. This one is tipped, and is it intercepted? Did he grab it as he was on the ground? It looks like he did at the 21-yard line.
And that's Connor Barwin.
Yep, Barwin, the new to Philly this year. Of course, the longtime Texan makes the play. Not long after that, Michael Vick with a short field goes to Riley Cooper for 9 yards.
Vick keeps it himself. Stays in the pocket. Now turns and delivers a strike. And it's a touchdown to Riley Cooper in the back of the end zone.
10-7 Eagles after the extra point. 9-yard touchdown, a two-play drive. 41 seconds off the clock. The Jags went 3-and-out again. And then a fumbled punt as the Jaguars were punting away again. A muff punt for Philly.
And it is a high spiraling punt. This one is going to be caught on the run. And Damaris Johnson lost the ball, and it's recovered by the Jaguars. I think Andy Studebaker covered it up at the 44-yard line.
Yeah, that wasn't a 53 Studebaker. That was a 54 Studebaker.
It was not a muff. It was an actual fumble. He did catch it, run, and then fumble. The Jaguars would get a field goal out of that. Scobie from 35 yards tied the game 10-10. And then on the ensuing drive, Philly moving the ball. 6 plays, 50 yards, until Dwayne Grott strikes again.
Vick takes the shotgun snap, steps up into the pocket, turns to throw. This one's intercepted. Dwayne Grott went to the ground, and now he's up, and he breaks the tackle. He's on the run. Stays on his feet across the 35 and still going to the 36.
Second pick of the preseason for the rookie out of UConn. Another nice diving grab, and then gets up and runs with it. Well, the ensuing drive, first play, in fact, of the ensuing drive. Jordan Todman breaks loose down the right sideline.
10-5, touchdown. Holy cow. Jordan Todman just took it from the 37 to the end zone. That is a 63-yard touchdown.
63 yards, really the play of the game for the Jags tonight. 17-10, the final score. Philly would go right back down the field, get a field goal, 17-13. And then another field goal with just a minute or so remaining in the first half. 17-16, the halftime score. Jags had the lead in the second half. What an opening drive then as well, and it was capped off by a Reisner touchdown.
Three receivers. Mike Brown slides in motion behind Jordan Shipley. There's the snap. Pressure coming, and he turns and throws. It's caught. Touchdown. Allen Reisner reached low, pulled it in, and the Jaguars score. Although he just blew the spike.
Well, he blew the spike, but he got the touchdown. It capped off a 14-play, 80-yard drive in 6 minutes and 10 seconds. 24-16, the Jags had the lead. Bryce Brown in the ensuing drive for Philly was about to go in for a touchdown, but he fumbled out the back of the end zone for a touchback. Jaguars would go 14 plays on the drive after that, but Scobie missed from 47 yards. Then it was all Philly the rest of the night. Brown capped off a 5-play, 50-yard drive later with this 4-yard touchdown.
Second and goal from the 4. Foles hands it off to Bryce Brown, following his blockers. He's got the end zone. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
They were about to go for 2 to try to tie the game. They had a procedure, moved back to kick the extra point instead. 24-23, the Jags led at that point. Later, with Philly backed up in their own 1-yard line to start a drive, Foles executed a 14-play, 99-yard drive, and Chris Polk had the touchdown score, which put Philly ahead for good.
Foles hands the ball off. Polk going the other way this time, and he is in for the touchdown.
Outside zone play, just like they scored a little bit ago.
Yep, that was a 2-point conversion after that would make it 31-24, and that would be the final score tonight. The Eagles with a win over the Jags. by the count of 31-24. That was the Metro PCS Sexton summary with no signed contracts. Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Final score tonight, 31-24. The Eagles over the Jags. More Marco Coleman coming up after the break. This is Jaguars Radio.
Bud Light presents NFL Fan Dilemmas.
Should I put these Bud Lights on your tab?
Wait, Jess supposed to get this round.
Throws it over the middle, and it's picked off! Down to the 35-yard line, and the home team's back in business here in the third.
But on my rounds, we play better. It's good luck when I buy Jeff's beers. But I don't want to buy Jeff's beers. He wouldn't even give me gum the other day.
Drops back, slips a tackle, moves out of the pocket, has a man open down the sideline, and it is caught for a touchdown! Unbelievable!
Wow, what a shocking turn of events. Absolutely everything going right now. They have all the momentum.
Yeah, just put them on my tab.
It's only weird if it doesn't work. Bud Light. For the NFL fans who do whatever it takes, here we go.
Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Sonny's annual Pitmaster Showdown. Three barbecue sandwiches made the cut. Only one will make the menu. Will it be Melvin's Sweet Carolina? Pulled pork topped with homemade coleslaw and sauce. Wayne's Smokin' Gun. Smoked brisket, sausage, peppers, onions, and sauce. Or Amy's Triple Threat. Smoked turkey, chicken, bacon, cheese, and barbecue ranch. Try all three for just $7.99 each. Then vote for your favorite at PitmasterShowdown.com for a shot at a free big deal combo.
At Brooks Rehabilitation, they provide the most complete care to help you achieve the best recovery possible. In addition to their rehabilitation hospital, they offer outpatient therapy, home health care, and senior services. They're here to support you at every stage of your recovery. Brooks Rehabilitation is more than therapy. It's about seeing your life in a whole new way. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
Back inside the Hanania studio at Everbank Field, the final score tonight, the Eagles over the Jags, 31-24. The Jaguars are 0-3 in the preseason. Eagles improved to 2-1. The Jags will visit Atlanta, the Georgia Dome, Thursday night for the preseason finale against the Atlanta Falcons. And you heard Gus Bradley just a moment ago tell Jeff Lagerman that you might see some starters early, a couple of drives in that game in Atlanta. Marco Coleman is back with us now. Some good and bad on the lines tonight. Let's start with the good on the defensive line. They got some pressure on Vic. They actually had some help with some blitzes tonight from Bob Babich, really for one of the first times in this preseason. But Vic got out a few times. For the most part, a decent night for this D-line.
Oh, yeah, you got to feel good about the way these guys were able to get some pressure early on in the game to start it off. I mean, you see the with Babin and Derek, these guys were very consistent with the pressure. I mean, they stayed in the backfield.
Sure.
They actually seem like they're fit for that type of offense, the spread, the way that they're running this Chip Kelly so-called offense whatnot, these guys did a great job of getting after and disrupting it, making it really difficult. The running game really didn't get going. Vic was running around, but really, you know, to no avail, nothing major. So defensive line, they get an A for me this time. Well, I want to say A because they did a couple times they didn't get pressure, gave up some big plays,
yep.
You know, and a couple of big third downs. But overall, they did a pretty good job. Give them a B plus.
I'll tell you what, the Eagles tight ends tonight had a big game. Selleck had four receptions, 54 yards, and that was just a theme throughout the night with open tight ends down the field all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's the zone coverage. They just had too big of holes. You know, when you play zones, you're going to have some space, but the space was just too wide. It seemed like either not enough depth by linebackers or the safeties may have been a little bit too far back themselves. They got to get that shoring up, because, you know, especially coming up in that first game against Kansas City, Alex Smith, they got some pretty talented guys out there. Andy Reid, they'll find those holes, and if they're too big, it's going to hurt them.
Let's talk about the offensive line now, Marco. This was a game where Rackley went down early, and if you just joined us, Gus Bradley said the knee is fine for Rackley. They're going to look at the ankle with an MRI most likely tomorrow, and, of course, go to Jaguars.com tomorrow, and you'll get the latest on that. But this offensive line gave up 7 sacks tonight. A lot of those were late in the game,
right,
though, but you got to shore up the protection somehow.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of that has to do with the type of the way the offense was ran, as opposed to – last week. You figure last week a lot of movement, you know, with Gabbert, you know, rolling out quite a bit. Here with Henny, not as athletic. It was more of a drop back type of passing game. Wynaire did not have a really good day today. You know, he gave up a lot of pressure, not only versus the pass, but also on a run. He did just what I don't know what was going on with him, but wasn't a good day for him. Something out of the ordinary, definitely, as far as the way he plays. But I think the way that they play in Henny kind of contributed also, because he's not getting out of the pocket. He's sure. Almost like a sitting duck. You know, right. Saw that one play when he tried to get to the sideline, he almost got ripped apart. He didn't learn how to get a little better slide.
Luke Jokel got the start tonight. It was a game time decision. Felt good in pregame warmups. Got the start. How'd he look to you?
I thought he did pretty good. You know, he got bull rushed. You know, I guess that's probably also his legs. He's trying to get that. I guess a big reason to have him out there right now to get those get the legs, get himself in condition for the regular season. But I thought he did a pretty decent job. He had to get his base together and be able to be a lot more stout than what he was early on in the game.
Marco, we'll visit with you in just a little bit. We're going to take another timeout on Jaguars postgame. We'll come back with scores from around the National Football League and then one last visit with Marco Coleman. The unhappy final tonight, the Eagles over the Jaguars 31-24 in the third of four preseason games. Back with more after this on Jaguars Radio. Back on Jaguars postgame in the Hanania studio inside Everbank Field, the final score tonight, 31-24, the Eagles over the Jags. A few stats from tonight's game. Henny, of course, 11 of 18 passing, 106 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. Mike Vick tonight for the Eagles, 15 of 23, 184 yards, a touchdown. Vick with seven carries, 53 yards rushing. Got out of the pocket quite a bit tonight. Other leading rushers for the Eagles, Brown, 11 carries, 92 yards, and a score. Polk had the late touchdown, the go-ahead score, the game-winning touchdown for the Eagles tonight, six carries, 23 yards. For the Jags tonight, Todman, eight carries, 105 yards, including a 63-yard touchdown score. Denard Robinson, seven carries, 33 yards. Jones-Drew had seven carries for 28 yards. Grimes carried the ball six times for 18 yards. Receiving, Blackman, four for 50, Brackett, and a touchdown. Brackett, four for 24, the leaders for the Jags. And a handful of receivers, actually eight receivers, had multiple receptions for the Eagles tonight. Selleck led the way, the tight end, with four receptions, 54 yards. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. Back after this with a look at scores from around the National Football League. It's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Back inside the Hanania studio at Everbank Field, the unhappy final tonight, 31-24, the Eagles over the Jags. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today or tonight on your way home after the ball game. Look at some scores around the National Football League. One game underway still. It's out west in Arizona. The Cardinals trail the Chargers 14-0. That's at halftime in just outside of Phoenix. All other games in the league today, and there were 10 of them total, are final. Redskins hammered the Bills earlier, 30-7. And the Colts over the Browns today, 27-6. Luck 16-25, 164, and two touchdowns. There were two overtime games today in the National Football League in preseason week three. The Jets over the Giants, 24-21. Mark Sanchez left the game in the fourth quarter with an apparent shoulder injury. He walked off with his shoulder wrapped. And no news yet on the severity of that. The other overtime game tonight, Chiefs over the Steelers, 26-20. It's a final in Miami. The Bucs over the Dolphins, 17-16. The Cowboys beat the Bengals tonight, 24-18. Broncos come from behind with 10 fourth-quarter points, and they beat the Rams, 27-26. And a final in Nashville, the Titans over the Falcons tonight, 27-16. Locker, 11 of 13, 133 yards. And a touchdown pass. Let's look at the scores around the National Football League. We'll come back and one last segment with Marco Coleman to break down this one. 31-24, the final. Eagles with a win over the Jaguars tonight. And this is the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame tonight from the Hanania studio inside Everbank Field. Final score, 31-24, the Eagles over the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman for the final time tonight. This portion of Jaguars postgame brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. Well, there were some bright spots tonight. Opening drive of the second half as well for the Jags offense. Moved the ball down the field. Blackman had a touchdown. Todman had a huge game tonight. Jones-Drew went a little deeper. A lot going on that was positive, Marco.
And creating turnovers. You figure it's the second time this, you know, second game where we got interceptions, big plays, you know, creating turnovers on the special teams. You got to talk about the special teams. My guy Blake showed up today.
How Antoine
about
Blake.
That? Antoine Blake was back in action. And Tolman, too. Those are the plays that change games. And you're seeing a team that's developing a good sound special team. Just got to get rid of the penalty, which that was a backup punter that might not be hanging around afterwards anyway.
That's true. Todman tonight, 8 carries, 105 yards, 63-yard touchdown run as well. You know, there's a lot of running backs in this roster. Forsett's hurt right now. Jones-Drew is back. Denard Robinson plays there a lot. Todman, bubble guy, but this is a strong case to make this roster if he's a bubble guy.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the speed he's shown once he broke out of that on that long run, he's got to be a guy you got to hang around. And plus, he's valuable in another way, and that's on that special teams. You can't say enough about a guy that can come in, have a role as a backup, and still play a significant role in those special teams, and that's something he brings, I think, that those other guys do not.
Gus Bradley told the media tonight after the game that cuts on this roster down to 75 could come as early as tomorrow. What do you look for next week in Atlanta?
Well, next week in Atlanta, seeing some guys trying to make this team. You know, you figure the headline guys that you know that are going to be playing on opening day won't play a whole lot. So now it's only going to probably be, you know, probably about 15 spots left for, you know, quite a few guys. So let's see who's going to step up with the last opportunity to make plays, if not for this team, but to get themselves in a position to be on someone else's team if they don't make it here.
Marco, great stuff as always.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk to you next week.
Jay Pizzle.
Marco Coleman joining us on Jaguars postgame. Jaguars postgame brought to you by Geico. Geico has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much Geico's military discounts could save you. Go to geico.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local Geico agent today. Again, the final score, 31-24, the Eagles over the Jags. Chad Henne tonight, 11 of 18 in place of Blaine Gabbert. 106 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Blackman had the opening drive score. The offense looked good early tonight. The start of the second half as well. Some good things from this team tonight. Just haven't found that W yet. 31-24 the final. They'll tee it up Thursday night at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. Pre-game coverage comes up at 6:30 all across the Jaguars radio network. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night from Jacksonville. Eagles 31, Jaguars 24. Good night.